Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome to you all, to those here in the sanctuary, and to those who are joined online, either at this time or later in the day or the week. The church blinds are up. The sun is shining. Isn't this weather wonderful? It lifts our spirits, and I don't know about you, but I feel I've got more energy, and I welcome that. So lovely to see you all. Let us worship God. We sing the hymn 184, 184, Sing to the Lord a Joyful Song. Call to prayer comes from Psalm 130. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I put my hope. Let us pray. Almighty God, you reign in majesty, and all power and glory belong to you. We, your people, gather this new day to praise you. We come to acknowledge your faithfulness. We come to thank you for your mercies, which come with the morning light. Gracious God, source of life and love, for daily help and nightly care, for the strength you give, and for the joy that is ours through Jesus Christ, your Son, we thank and praise your holy name. Lord God, we confess that despite your amazing goodness to us, we fail to be truly grateful. We are blind to your Spirit at work in the world and in our lives. We deny you through the words we speak and the things we do. We give grudgingly of our time, talents, and money. We take the easy way and not the hard way that Jesus asks us to take. Almighty God, kind beyond measure, forgive us all our sins and help us at the beginning of a new week to turn again to you, the God of our salvation. Gracious God, you did not create us for darkness and death, but for life with you forever. Without you, we have nothing to hope for. With you, we have nothing to fear. Let us be loyal and steadfast in your service. And following the example of your Son, who was obedient even to death, death on a cross, may we glorify you in all that we say and in all that we do. These things we humbly ask in Jesus' name, and together as the one people, we say the prayer he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. A reminder of the Easter Holiday Club for children of primary school age that will be held in our own church hall this Wednesday, Thursday and Friday morning. It's not too late for children to be registered. There are registration forms out in the main vestibule of the church, or I can be emailed for one. And I would ask you to remember the Holiday Club in your prayers. That's this coming Wednesday, Thursday and Friday mornings. Stirling Kirks Together are hosting a lunch in Park Church Hall on Wednesday at 12 noon. All will be welcome there. Next week we will have our Palm Sunday service, and that will mark the beginning of Holy Week, a very special and sacred week in the life of the church. There'll be services each evening throughout Holy Week, and perhaps a first in that on the Monday we'll be going to St. Mary's Roman Catholic Church for the Stations of the Cross. We've been invited along by Father Jamie Boyle, so all will be very welcome then. And then there's services Tuesday, Park Church, Wednesday the North, Monday, Thursday, the communion service here in the old parish, and then Good Friday at St. Mark's. Following each service, certainly from the Tuesday to the Friday, there'll be a further time of fellowship, and baking would be appreciated for the time of fellowship following the service here on the Thursday. And baking can be left at the parish halls on the Thursday afternoon between 2 and 4. And then on Easter Day, a fortnight today, there'll be a service at 7:30 in the morning at King's Park. Let's hope and pray the weather's like this. And then at 10:30, a family service here in the old parish. Now, once again, we have Val with us this morning, but today is Val's last Sunday with us. As many of you know, she is training to be a reader within the Church of Scotland. And this is her first placement, and I'll be submitting a report next Thursday. Rest assured, it is a very fine report. It has been a joy to have you with us, and I've enjoyed meeting with you as well at different times since you began your placement here, Val. You've got another placement to do after this and some more studies, and then you'll be set apart. But we do thank you, and we assure you of our prayers and good wishes And in case I forget, there's a bunch of flowers for you through the back there. So please do take them with our love and our gratitude. Now, it's her last Sunday, so she's having to work today. Val's going to do the all-age talk and then preach the sermon. And that meant I was able to spend a few hours out in my garden yesterday. So the garden has benefited as a result. Val, thank you very much.
Thank you, Gary. It's been an absolute delight to be here with you. I've thoroughly enjoyed it. And many thanks to Gary and everybody for making me feel so welcome in my time here with you. So I was hoping that there was going to be a few little people around, but it doesn't matter because we are all God's children. And this morning I'm going to be making you all do a little tiny bit of work because today, in a way, is all about choices. Choices. So I'm going to give you some choices to make first thing. Right, okay. So I'll start you off on an easy one. Okay, chocolate and cheese. Okay, so I want you to vote. Put your hand up if you prefer cheese. Yeah? And how about chocolate? Oh, definitely chocolate takes it for that choice. Okay, that's an easy one. Okay, next one. Are you a dog or a cat person? Tends to be a bit of a divide. So if you're a cat person, raise your hands. Oh, and if you're a dog person, oh, dogs definitely have the vote on that one. Okay, so two easy ones. We've got chocolate and dogs so far. Okay. How about a new car or a holiday? A little bit more difficult to choose between the two if you have to. So how about new car? Yeah, a few hands for that one. How about a holiday? Ah, definitely, definitely win. Okay, so we've got chocolate, dogs, and holidays so far. Perhaps now a slightly more difficult one. How about friends or family? Now, some people would say you choose your friends, but not your family. So, hands up if it's friends. And hands up for family. Okay, overwhelming. So we've got family-friendly holiday with dogs and chocolate. The last one. Perhaps even more difficult. How about love and success? Perhaps to think a little bit more about that one. Love or success? How about success? Hands up for success. You're all good Christian people, so hands up for love, yes. Perhaps not so difficult after all. But today, the readings are inviting us to think about who or what matters most to us in life. And perhaps you won't be surprised that Jesus has very clear ideas about what we should think about when we have to make decisions. Which choices are about the kingdom of God, and which ones may not be. So I leave you thinking about that as we go through the rest of the service. what choices are about the kingdom of God and which might not be. So we sing again, and this time we're going to be singing 502, Take My Life, Lord, Let It Be.
The reading this morning are taken from Isaiah chapter 43, verses 16 to 21, and John chapter 12, verses 1 to 8, and you'll find these on page 605 and page 91 of the Pew Bible. So Isaiah chapter 43, 16 to 21, and John chapter 12, verses 1 to 8. This is the word of the Lord, who opened a way in the sea, a path through mighty waters, who drew on chariot and horse to their destruction, an army in all its strength they lay down, never to rise again. They were extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Stop dwelling on past events and brooding over days gone by. I am about to do something new. This moment it will unfold. Can you not perceive it? Even though the wilderness I shall make a way, and paths in the barren desert. The wild beasts do me honour, the wolf and the desert owl, for I shall provide water in the wilderness and the rivers in the barren desert, where my chosen people may drink. This people I have formed for myself, and they will proclaim my praises. 6 days before the Passover festival, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. They gave a supper in his honour, at which Martha served, and Lazarus was among the guests with Jesus. Then Mary brought a pound of very costly perfume, pure oil of nard, and anointed Jesus' feet and wiped them with her hair, till the house was filled with the fragrance. At this, Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who would betray him, protested, Could not this perfume have been sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor? He said, this not out of any concern for the poor, but because he was a thief. He had charge of the common purse and used to pilfer the money to keep in it. Leave her alone, said Jesus. Let her keep it for the day of my burial. The poor you have always had among you, but you will not always have me. May God add his blessing to this reading of his holy word.
Thank you, Callum. Will you come and follow me? Hymn 533. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we cannot begin to comprehend all that you endured for us as you prepared to go to Jerusalem and to the cross. How much Mary's act of love must have meant to you at that most difficult of times. And what an example it is to us as we reflect upon your passion. Gracious God, help us to give willingly and cheerfully in your service. And if ever we question the cost, let us remember that in giving Jesus Christ for the life of the world, you gave the very best you had to give. Lord Jesus, you call upon us to pray for those in authority. May all in positions of leadership in this country and around the world be given wisdom and discernment. And may they do what is right, not to be popular or for personal gain, but for the well-being of all people, particularly those who go without, while many have more than enough. Loving God, Martha served at the table, ensuring those in her home were nourished and provided for. Bless all whose work today is overlooked or taken for granted, and let none be despised or dishonoured. Lord Jesus, you acknowledge that the poor will always be with us. As we recognise our inability to do all we would want to help those in need, be with those for whom each day is a real struggle. Lighten their load and help us to do and to give what we can to help. Gracious God, even on the cross, Jesus thought of others. We pray for all who are lonely, for the anxious and confused, for the sick, and for those who mourn. And now, in a moment of quiet, we pray for those who are uppermost in our thoughts in these days. Lord God, all we have is of little worth when compared to the value of knowing you. Bless, we pray, the Easter Holiday Club, that the children who come will have fun and enjoy themselves while learning about you and your love for them. Be with Val as she continues her training, and bless her in your service. And be with each one of us as part of your church, the body of Christ, that we may love and serve you, now and forevermore, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. All that I am, all that I do. Hymn 505.
I wonder if you ever catch yourself using phrases like, something smells fishy, or that smells like trouble, or even you could smell it a mile off. Familiar sayings, perhaps. Part of our everyday fabric of our language. They're a kind of metaphor, aren't I? They tap into something instinctive, something that we don't have to think about. We use the language of scent to talk about trust, danger, or even deceit. In fact, much of that language dates back to a time when the streets and towns and cities smelt so strongly of decay that people carried nosegays, little bunches of scented flowers, just to mask the stench. Probably the origin of giving a bunch of flowers to visiting important people, or the wearing of buttonholes at weddings. And in fact, each one of us has a unique scent profile, a bit like a fingerprint. In most humans, we maybe don't consciously know that, but if you asked your favorite dog or cat, they would tell you that it's quite true. And even though we might not know it consciously, we remember the scent of someone even after many years. The part of the brain which handles the sense is part of the primitive brain, which means that it bypasses logic and triggers reactions and emotions that are recognized and embedded deep within us. And so because sense is so evocative, it makes perfect sense, perhaps, that in today's gospel, at this turning point, before we embark on the last journey of the Passion, this important, this awesome, intimate story is saturated with scent. The woody, earthy, heady scent, we are told, of pure nard from the Jatamansi tree of the Himalayas. We are told the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. So let us picture the scene. Jesus is at the table with Lazarus, whom not many days or perhaps weeks before he had been raised from the dead by Jesus in an emotional encounter between his sisters and him. It's a domestic scene of restoration, of intimacy, and unexpected life. We know some, at least, of the disciples were there with Jesus, and this visit to Bethany was a stopping off point on their way to Jerusalem. As good practicing Jews, they were on their way to the temple and to celebrate the Passover meal. Martha is serving plates of food. And into this moment walks Mary. She doesn't carry food or a message and has no demand of conversation. But she carries a jar. A jar of pure nard, worth a year's wages. A treasure. If not the family's financial security, then maybe possibly hers. And without hesitation, she breaks it open and pours it on Jesus. The smell would have been overwhelming. But so, in that moment, was the love. I wonder how you hear that story this morning. I wonder what stirred in you as Mary shattered that jar, not carefully tipping out a few drops, but breaking it open. She didn't measure. She didn't hold back. She gave everything. Imagine somebody today cashing in their pension to care for someone who's dying, or selling their home to support a friend's dream. That's the scale that we're talking about. And yes, it's unreasonable. It's not strategic. It doesn't fix anything. It doesn't feed the poor. It doesn't change government policy. But that's the point. It's not useful. It's beautiful. It's love poured out for love's sake. Unmeasured, misunderstood, and utterly true. Judas asks the reasonable question. Why wasn't the perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It's a good and valid question on the surface. But it doesn't come from love. It comes from a place of cynicism, perhaps disillusionment. Judas sees cost, not meaning. He sees money, not people. He speaks of the poor, but he doesn't show them love. His is the voice that says, don't be foolish. Be careful. Be efficient. Be safe. I expect that most of us can recognize that voice. We can recognize at least the sentiment. Anyone who has been in church circles for the past few years has listened to it often, especially at meetings. And I've been in a few and used those kinds of words. We've asked what works, what gets results, what can we measure, is it cost effective? It's the voice which says we live in an economy of deficit rather than abundance. Making choices, perhaps, based on the values of the secular world rather than those of the kingdom. In that choice between Jesus and Mary's reaction, Jesus invites us into a very special moment. He invites us to see the extravagant gift as a glimpse of the kingdom's love. He invites us into the presence of God, a presence that does not count a cost, and shows us a way of being with and not doing for. In that extravagant act, we find God right there on the floor while Mary wipes the feet of Jesus with her hair. Her act is not productive. It's sacramental. It reveals something profound. It reveals that Jesus is worth everything. That love cannot be counted. That discipleship is not always sensible, but is always costly. And here is the miracle. Her extravagance is not wasteful. There is a profound truth in what she does. She recognizes something that even the disciples struggle to see. She sees what's coming. She knows that death is near. And still she dares to love. In that moment, her gift becomes a mirror of what Jesus will do days later. He too will be broken and poured out, not held back, not measured, but given entirely. Her love and action is a hint of what is to come in the upper room, of the cross, of the tomb, and beyond. She lives in that moment with the scent of resurrection in her heart. And so the house is filled with fragrance, just as love, true love, fills the world. It cannot be contained. It lingers and it awakens. Today's gospel is a story of extravagant love. Not practical, not explainable, not restrained. And I wonder, how do we respond to such extravagant love poured out on us by God? I wonder where we see that kind of love in the world today. Maybe it's in a carer staying up night after night, just being with someone in their pain or discomfort. A parent giving everything for their child. A neighbor looking out for someone quietly in crisis. Maybe it's you, offering something precious, something unseen, just because love asked you to. Not because there's a transaction, not because there is a reward for your care, but just because love asked you to. If we look for it, fragrance of love still fills the house. The world may ask, what's the point? But the gospel says, this is the point. To love without counting. To give without measuring. To pour ourselves out for Christ and for one another. That is the aroma of life, the scent of resurrection. That is the beauty of extravagant love. And we hold on to the fact that extravagant love, like Mary's, still has a voice. God's longing is that we all know that extravagance as we travel the last few miles to Jerusalem. Amen. We sing now, I think, a song, the hymn that you may not know. So Tony is going to play it all the way through for us. It's a song, The Life of the World.
Thank you.
Let us go with thankful hearts for God's extravagant love and the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you now and forevermore.